Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You remember last Friday when we had the Giants fans and the Vikings fans, and in the beginning of the show, it was all Minnesota. All the Vikings fans. Now, again, we're not a national show anymore. We've tried to make that clear to everybody. But those around the country who were used to listening to us, well, they wanted to know how they could keep listening. So they stream. They listen on stream. And that you can certainly do, too, the ESPN New York app. And so because of that, we still get people from around the country calling into the show. And so you get those occasional Vikings fans who dominated the start of the show, and it got some Giants fans pissed off.
I don't want to hear it. Y'all got to take some accountability, bruh. This New York City. It's a Giants hometown. You got to take accountability because you're bugging right now. Stop allowing these other fans to call in and talk all this trash. Y'all on New York City radio. Do better.
Be better. Well, you got to be better. And then that's when the tide started to turn. And what happened is then we started getting all the calls from the Giants fans. And they were pushing back and clapping back. That's when the show really had its energy. And that energy carried over into a big win in Minnesota. So now we open it up, and you talk about a rivalry. You talk about two fan bases that definitely hate each other. And I don't know, do Eagles fans hate Cowboys fans more than they hate Giants fans? I think Giants fans look at Eagles fans with the same kind of disdain, right? Like, you don't like the Cowboys, but you hate the Eagles. Like, that's gotta be how it feels. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a Cowboys who's a Giants fan. And I was talking to him about the idea of house money, which is easy for me to say. I'm a Jets fan. I don't have an emotional involvement in this. So I look at it like, you went into this season and you had three questions that needed to be answered. The first one was, did you finally get the right coach? Question answered. The second question was, what do you do with Daniel Jones? Is he your quarterback of the future, or are you going to be in the market for one after this season? I think that question's answered too. The third question was, Saquon Barkley, are you willing to pay him? Can he stay healthy enough to be the impact player that you saw him be as a rookie? Don't know if that question's completely answered, but I think you kind of know that when he's healthy, he is special. So I look at it like you've already kind of accomplished answering the questions need to be answered. Now it's like, all right, you had success that might have been a bit of a surprise, got hot late. And now all of a sudden you find yourself in the division round, one win away from the NFC Championship game. So this to me is like house money. You lose this way, you're supposed to lose it. And at least you now go into the offseason feeling like we're in the right direction. A couple pieces here, a wide receiver, lock up some of our guys, Dexter Lawrence. But we have a coach. We're never going to be outcoached. And now you can look at next season and think the NFC East is going to be a beast again. And you're going to be one of those teams that wreaks havoc. You love it. You feel good about where you're going. But as I was trying to explain this to my friend, he said to me, yeah, but it's the Eagles. It's different. Like, if it was another team, you might not feel as much. But because it's the Eagles, fly, Eagles, fly, all that garbage, you know, Lincoln Financial, the dirtiest, meanest, nastiest fans in the league. Like, you don't want to lose to them. You want to hear about how you haven't won there now in 10 straight games. You don't want to hear any of that. You want to take their heart. You want to take their great season and kick it to the curb. That's what you want to do. So that's why the emotion is probably different. So that's what I need to know. At 800-919-3776. It's Bart Scott. Makes his way into the studio, down the hallway after spending most of the morning on First Take with Stephen A., Molly, and company. Of course, talking football all around the league. Where's your IFP, my man? Hey, you're plugging it in. All right. Ready to go.
There's no spoon.
But as we set this up and get the conversation going, because, again, we love the smoke, so it's all about Eagles fans versus Giants fans for the rest of this show. And who's got the energy? Who brings the most energy? Who's got something to say about it? I do want to bring up once again the Daniel Jones question. I asked it earlier in the week. I'm going to ask it again. Have you seen enough already to say, I am all in? To a point where it doesn't matter what you see from him in this game. So if he reverts has, you know, a two turnover game, a fumble, a pick, and, you know, it just kind of doesn't look, you know, like it's just, it's a frustrating moment. And you say, turn the ball over again. Does it make you hesitate, or are you like, no, I've seen enough. I don't care what happens in this game.
Yeah, I tell you.
The turnover thing. I'm sorry, Bart.
I tell you.
I didn't know you were hooked up. Good.
I look right over to the other sideline, and I look at, you know, and me and Ryan Clark kind of got into it, and we really couldn't get into it because TV, you have to move on to the next subject.
Yeah.
But if you look at who's the better football player, in my opinion, Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
You keep saying this.
Like, I don't understand what people are missing. He's a better thrower, and I think he's just as good of a runner as Jalen Hurts.
He's fast, yeah.
It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, for me, the issue for me was, can Daniel Jones cut down the mistakes, the turnovers? Because that's the number one job of the quarterback.
But he has.
That's what I'm saying. He's done that.
He's had one turnover in the last five games, and it was an interception. Right. He's had no fumbles, which was his bigger issue than interceptions. And he's had no fumbles those last five games.
And guess why you don't fumble the ball as much? When your left tackle that you brought in here as a first-round draft pick becomes one of the best left tackles Andy in the Thomas. Game mm-hmm. and goes to a Pro Bowl, mm-hmm. then I think you hold on and secure the ball a lot better. I mean, so when you look at it, I'm encouraged by looking at Jalen Hurts if I'm the Giants, because I'm saying, listen, if we could put half the environment that they have around Jalen Hurts, the sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that we're in the same game with these guys means that we closed the gap with coaching.
Right.
We didn't close the gap with talent and personnel. So what happens when we close the gap in personnel? Because we know we believe that we have one thing that's better than them, coaching. Like, you can say whatever you want about Sirianni. I don't think he's Brian Daboll. I don't think he has the ability to be able to coach any environment. I think that's a fair statement to say. And when we look over there and we see Wink Martindale, we have to recognize that he's one of the best. He's always been one of the best, even when he was at Baltimore, right? So when you look at it like that, advantage to me, if we just improve the personnel, we can compete for this division every year. If they ran this back without the same and it was just one improvement, you would say that the Giants are right there. If next year no team did nothing, you can say, hey man, the Giants could potentially win the division.
If the Giants did nothing with their roster?
And if nobody did nothing with their roster, right?
Oh, okay.
It's fair, right? That just because they've been able to learn and people that have emerged, you wouldn't be surprised.
You don't think the Eagles would still be the superior team?
They
if
could
they
be.
They did nothing? They were the superior team this year.
But what I'm saying is this team is improving because they're getting better, and this is their first year.
With their new coach.
Yeah, and it's their first year in the system.
All right.
So next year in another system, they can continue to elevate. Now, what happens if they go out there and they get him the necessary weapons? Like, I think Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. But Ryan Clark looked at me like I was crazy, like I was.
What? Being why high is tech. That? But why is that? Why are we getting this pushback on the fact that Daniel Jones? If you look at the numbers, they're very similar.
Because some people have to see it. I can visualize it, and I see the player. I'm not paying attention to the environment. That's the whole thing I talk about why I talk about the frustration with Lamar Jackson. The frustration is we can't see how good he is because of the environment and the surrounding pieces that they've decided to put around him. So Daniel Jones, in my opinion, this is the worst. Anybody can – like, we don't know what Jalen Hurts can do with a bad roster and bad receiving play. We know what Daniel Jones can do with a bad roster and bad receiver play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to project what he'll do with good. It's a lot harder when you see somebody in perfect conditions to see what they'll do in bad conditions.
See, I don't like the pushback on the idea that Daniel Jones can't be in the same category as Jalen Hurts, because what is it that's special about Jalen Hurts? Not leadership wise,
outside of his roster.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as a football player. What do you look at him and say? Why is he so successful? His ability to run.
Yeah,
his ability to read it, know what to do, all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
okay. And then obviously he's got weapons that he can throw to that make him look good.
Do we say he have a cannon? We don't say he has an overly. We don't talk about his arm like Josh Allen,
right? So, what is it about Daniel Jones though that makes you say, I don't know if he's the same as Jalen Hurts? Is he taller than Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is he faster than Jalen Hurts? Yeah.
You could argue it. So, is it
Does he have a stronger arm than Jalen Hurts?
So can I ask you then a question that generally goes the other way, especially when you bring up a Lamar Jackson or somebody like that?
It's reverse racism.
I was just going to say, can we just flip it then and say, because Daniel Jones doesn't look like that.
Exactly. And he's not as big as Josh Allen, right? And it's like it's the same thing that happened to Christian McCaffrey when he got drafted. It's the same thing that happened to him when he was going for the Heisman. Mm-hmm. It's like reverse. Like you see a white corner, you think trash. Like it's just what people think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You see like a white tailback, like, oh, he ain't, man, come on. And then you look at Chris McCaffrey, like, yo, this dude is ridiculous.
The opposite of that scene we were laughing about this week.
Exactly. So, hey, this ain't.
Yeah.
Geometry. but that's the thing, right? So I think like people look at Daniel Jones, and this is the thing. Before this season started, what was the real opinion of Jalen Hurts? Don't tell me what you think of him now.
Oh, no. Going into the season.
They were keeping two first-round draft picks.
We didn't know if he was the guy.
For what? Exactly.
To draft a quarterback.
When you look at Tua Tagovailoa, they were keeping two first-round draft picks. Why?
Yeah.
And now look at when the season happened, there were two MVP candidates. Now, you mean to tell me if you put Daniel Jones in a similar environment, we won't be talking about him as an MVP?
Oh, first of all, it's a big hypothetical, but watching Daniel Jones this year, especially over the last month and a half,
yeah,
that's a quarterback that if you put him in Philadelphia, they wouldn't miss a beat. You do all the same stuff. There's nothing different. There's nothing different about it.
You put him in Miami, wouldn't miss a beat.
Oh, if you put him in Miami, wouldn't miss a beat. They might even be better. I would argue they would be better.
So that's my point. So when I say that to Ryan Clark, who I love and I adore, why don't you see what I see? Like, and then he said, Bart, you've never said that. Like, bro, I've been saying this for 3 years.
Yeah, you have. We have proof of that.
Environment matters, right? You talk about if you put an oak tree in a small pot, it don't grow as big. Environment matters. You put it in good fertile ground, it's going to flourish.
I like that.
That's sports.
It's actually a great point. And the Daniel Jones thing also, that the narrative on Jalen Hurts, and I bought into it, I believe in it, because I've been watching him since he's at Alabama. And you saw it the minute he took over for Carson Wentz. The minute he stepped into the huddle, all you heard about was leadership. Mm-hmm. Everything was like, he is a great leader. He gets it. He cares about his teammates. They loved him just as that. And then you knew they were going to make sure he had success. Right. Carson Wentz was aloof. Carson Wentz just didn't seem like he was connected. And so guys were like, man, like, whatever. You know. But Jalen Hurts, they fell in love with right away. So that's another part of his quality. Another part of his qualities is the fact that he is somebody that gets it as a leader. Okay, good. Then there's another quality that I brought up when it comes to Daniel Jones. And that is something that I think is also an intangible, especially in games like this. Mm-hmm. Is that, to me, is the Eli factor.
He's unflappable.
He doesn't get rattled.
Same look.
His heart rate never changes. He stays the same. Eli always talks about how his whole mindset in big moments was to stay calm. Everything was stay calm, stay calm, stay calm. And that, I think, is Daniel Jones's best attribute outside of anything else that he's got physically. It's that. And that's what I think is so important, is when you have that, just like Jalen Hurts has the leadership quality, it is something that in big moments can inspire teammates in different ways. Sterling Shepard's not playing. Mm-hmm. But still, he knows Eli and he knows Daniel Jones. He was on the K Show, and he talked about like how much alike they are or not.
No, they're pretty different, man. Eli loves to joke around a lot, and Daniel's more on the serious side. Although he will joke around a little bit, but Eli's a pretty goofy dude. Whenever you get him off of the field setting or out of the meeting rooms in the locker room, he's a big jokester. So they're pretty different.
That's why, to me, the rest of the comparisons between the two go out the window.
It's just a body language.
Yeah, the body language part of it.
And the look, the resting Eli face.
The resting Eli face, yeah. But they're not the same. They don't play the same, that's for damn sure. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, along with, of course, resting Eli face, that I think you now watch Daniel Jones in these moments is, to me, his ability to stay calm in what is going to be a tough environment, as you know. That place, we know it. The fact that the players are already talking about it going into the building tells you it's in their head. They know what to expect. The double birds, the stories about all that stuff.
What's the over-under on a rest total?
On the what total?
On the arrest. On the arrest total. That's what we – can we get a prop bet on that one?
Prop bets on how many arrests are made?
I'm going to say at least 100. If you're talking 70,000 fans,
well, the been drinking since
yesterday. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've been drinking since yesterday. Or I put it like this because they might just – like, I ain't got time to be processing these dudes. It's Sunday. I ain't got time. How many citations?
Saturday night, actually.
Yeah. Yo, so I mean, how many, even worse, because they're coming off Friday night.
They're already tired.
How many citations are going to be issued? I'm saying at least 120. At least 120.
For this game?
Unruly conduct, throwing beers, fights.
Yeah.
Like.
And that's just pregame.
Yeah, people getting escorted out of the damn arena.
Probably. But that shouldn't matter to a player.
No, not at all.
Doesn't affect the player.
It actually emboldens you. Like,
in fact, Daniel Jones is so far away from any of that madness where he is on the field.
What I used to love is to drive in with the bus.
Yeah.
You coming up the road. I hear, you got the police escort. Say hello to the bad guy.
Right.
You pulling up and you got the people standing over when you're going down. They flipping you off. I once got booed, man, mooned by like an 80-year-old.
Mooned.
Yeah, by an 80-year-old woman.
Where?
Ass looked like a raisin. I was like, oh, my God. Her ass looked like a California raisin. Pittsburgh. Outside the 7-Eleven.
Of course. Outside of 7-Eleven.
Like, when you drive by 7-Eleven, like, where you going there? She hit me. I know what. I was appalled. I said, that is the most wrinkly ass I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't even tell where the middle was. There were so many lines.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, girl. She was all gray.
Wait.
Well, not there. I'm saying her whole head was gray. This is a grandma.
I'm like, that's a different kind of.
No, that wasn't a moon. That ain't real. We call that a moon.
She really was getting down.
Get down to it.
800-919-3776 is the number. So let's get it started. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. We got the calls to get to, and I want to start with this because we love our drivers, our delivery drivers, and in the Amazon truck, we have Ike, and Ike wants to talk about something that, of course, with Daniel Jones, always does hang in the balance. What is that, Ike?
I think we got a little recency bias here. I usually love your takes, Bart, but Daniel Jones hasn't thrown for over 250 yards before that game in his entire career. That last game was the first time, Mike. I don't know how we could say he's going to be an MVP candidate next year, the same as Jalen Hurts was this year. I'm a Giants fan, too, so it's just coming from we got to pump the brakes here a little bit.
What I'm saying is the environment in which that Jalen Hurts is in. We had a lot of questions about Jalen Hurts. He looked horrible last year against Tampa Bay, and he only had a pedestrian season last year as well. Remember, they were keeping two first-round draft picks because they weren't sure he was the guy. Like, what I'm saying is Daniel Jones is in a horrible situation. He's on his two best receivers.
Well, he's in a good situation now because of the coaching.
What I'm saying is his three best receivers not even played this year.
Yeah.
Got rid of Kadarius Toney. Kenny Galladay has been a bust. Mm-hmm. Sterling Shepard's been injured. Mm-hmm. And yet we're in it. It's like when you go somewhere and somebody see you because they thought they passed you, and y'all in the same spot. Like, how you get in?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't worry about how I got in. I'm in.
Yeah.
The only thing is, though, right, it's like maybe he's that good right now because he doesn't have to throw the ball as much, and we're running the ball with him, and that's his skill set, and that's what we're doing with him. So maybe with more weapons, opportunity to turn it over.
All right, I appreciate the call, but, I mean, he threw for 330 against the Vikings in Week 16. He threw for 341 against Detroit. It's not like it's the first time he's thrown over 250 yards.
Ike, what's your station, too? I'm DJ 4.
Oh, yeah.
Now I got to go some goon talk.
Going a little bit of
Amazon
some
nerd talk. Some nerd talk, some Bezos talk.
All right, let's go to Brooklyn. We talk to Wise next. What's up, Wise?
Hey, what's going on? Barton Hahn, love you guys.
What up?
So going to the point that that Alan made earlier, you have three things going into the season that had to be checked off. Question, can Saquon perform and stay healthy? Check. Can Daniel Jones play at a better level? Check. And then we also had the coaching, which is super check on all levels. So I think I'm very comfortable going into next season with Daniel Jones, regardless of how he performs tomorrow. And the only thing, I think, the only box going into next season would be how does he perform with elite-level receivers. If we could get some elite-level receivers, how would he perform with them?
Yeah, you got to get one, Wise. You got to get one. Bart's brought up Gabe Davis. He thinks that's a good one. You could trade for DeAndre Hopkins, but that's costly.
Yeah.
But you could trade for him. I mean, there are going to be options this offseason. And, you know, time to talk offseason, we'll get there. Thank you, Wise. Like, you know, obviously you got a game to play. But we all know that after this game or after the season does end, wherever it does end, they got business to get to. Because now that you've had a season like this that is supposed to kind of give you this taste of, okay, they're heading in the right direction. Then it's Joe Shane's time.
Yeah.
Then it's his time to say, all right, how do I take this?
Yeah, because that salary cap situation don't look great.
Take a step forward, not back. And don't blame the salary cap. I hate that excuse. Well, yeah. You know, we had to pay this guy, so we had to lose this guy. So we knew we would take a step back.
Yeah,
no.
You got to have some tough decisions.
You do.
You got to have some tough decisions. Like, hey, I need money. Where do I get it from?
Right.
I mean, anytime we watched the New Orleans Saints shed $70 million off their salary cap and try and be in a bid for Deshaun Watson after they were $70 million over the cap, it's amazing. That means anything can be done with accounting and a great imagination.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I tell you what, man. I'm excited about this weekend, man. And, you know, people thinking that, you know, what else is going on? It's weird, right? Because when you talk about, you know, what's going on this weekend with the games, and then it's what's going on off the field with the other teams. When you think about what's going on with the Jets and the fact that so many coordinators are getting cut, players are fired, I'm getting concerned now with, you know, Greg Roman being let go about, are the Jets the most attractive destination with the personnel, with the instability at the quarterback position to attract a top-notch, not just...
Do you have to get the quarterback first and then get the coordinator?
Well, will the coordinator be there, right? Because, you know, right now, you're telling Frank Wright, hey, Lamar Jackson's our quarterback. He's going to be franchise tag. He ain't going nowhere. That's who you get to play with. That's who you get to coach. That's who you got, right? And you're trying to figure out if that's the place to go. Some of these coordinators are coordinators/coaches. So is Frank Wright still sitting out there saying, hey, I'm trying to be a head coach? So I'm getting concerned now that the Jets may not have their first choice as far as the pick, because they're the only team. You think about Arizona, right? Arizona may want to hire somebody as a coach, and that coach may want them as a coordinator. They saying, hey, I got Kyler Murray. If you go out there and say to Broncos, you're saying, yeah, I know it don't sound nice, but traditionally, you know, I got a Super Bowl winning Pro Bowl quarterback in Russell Wilson. For us, we're saying, hey, we got a good defense. We got some good young weapons.
Chargers need an offensive coordinator, and you have Justin Herbert.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm getting nervous when it comes down to this search, because it looks like Daryl Bevel's already bowed out.
Why?
I thought he did. I thought
he did. The fact that he's all set.
Probably because out there in Miami, they're saying, hey, listen, we went to the playoffs. This job is more secure, because I don't think Saleh is on the hot seat. But if he doesn't win next year, the next year is the hot seat, where McDaniels went to the playoffs without their starting quarterback and still was making plays and going play for play, a fight with Buffalo. So maybe he's saying, I'd rather just wait and see what other opportunities shake out, because I don't know if I want to attach myself to this regime and his offense, because it's instability over there. And the first thing that's going to happen is I'm going to get blamed. I'm going to be at a job where I had an opportunity to sit around and maybe get a head coaching job, because if the offense ranks high, I'm getting a head coaching job.
And right now we're distracted by the games. But
business is going on.
Yeah,
all over the league. For everybody, what it's 32 teams, it's 6 playing. We're talking, it's 24 teams that's going about the business of the future of their organization.
You have also the competition. Like to me, it's chicken and egg with the Jets. Are you going to get the quarterback first and that'll attract coordinators? Or do you get a coordinator and then you don't have to worry about it? You're just going to find a quarterback. You know, like, it's always the pairing. Because look,
I hate these unarranged.
Well, think about it. Derek Carr was who was his coordinator before last year? Was it Olsen? So he right? And then Josh McDaniel came in, and all of a sudden Derek Carr can't play anymore. All of a sudden Derek Carr's not good anymore.
After carrying his team to the postseason, like, you see what I mean? Mess.
Like, that's the stuff that, like, how does that happen? So you can't have a situation where you get a coordinator, then you find a quarterback, whether it's Carr, whether it's Garoppolo, and the attitude is, these two didn't really get along, it didn't work. Like, now the stories are coming out about LaFleur and what Elijah Moore thought of him, what he thought of Zach Wilson.
Please educate me.
Oh, yeah. He gave us a Captain Obvious statement, but the reports were that he was telling people that his offense worked a lot better without Zach Wilson.
Ah.
Which we all saw that. We all knew that. But wasn't your job to get the most out of Zach Wilson?
What's amazing is he was supposed to have all these opportunities.
You mean he hasn't been hired yet?
Yeah, I mean,
they parted ways though, because he had so many people calling about him,
knocking on his door.
Uh huh. Yeah, we shall see.
For a lateral move.
Mm-hmm. 800-919-3776. Let's get the people ready. We're getting the tweets already about how, the Eagles fans are going to call up. Are they really going to call up? Are they really doing this? So let's start the smoke, Bart. Where we go to Philly right now, where we get a call from Philadelphia, and we get it from Troy, who wants to represent Philly.
Ah.
Troy, talk to New York. Oh, boy.
Hello? Troy's at a loss for words.
Troy, you with us?
We thought you.
Listen, Bart, man, this is for you. Hey, it's Philly all day, man. But listen, I work in the New York City market, right? I work for Budweiser. I actually did some work with you a couple years ago for the Super Bowl, right, over in Hoboken. But either way, I work out in the market. But I'm full bred Philadelphia fan. Grew up in Philly, family live in Philly, and go hard. That's what we do. That's what we do. Even on my job, I don't take no smack from no Giants fans, and I work in the Giants market, you know? So this is from the heart. We are like that. You know? We're passionate. We're passionate. And we're freaking out, man. And let me tell you something. Jalen Hurts is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
But is he a product of his environment? I mean, I know most quarterbacks are, but
ask him the question. Troy,
yes.
Straight up, if you had Daniel Jones on your team, would you still be where you are right now?
No.
Why do you say that?
No. Jalen Hurts can run any given time for a rush over 300 and something yards, give you 2-3 rushing touchdowns in a game.
Oh, really?
Throw for absolutely.
Uh-huh.
No, you do know Danny Dimes got wheels. You know he did get up to 22 miles an hour 1 year, right? You know he got mad action now. He's like Josh Allen too, and he's bigger than Jalen Hurts. This is the thing about, like, Philly fans and their love for Jalen Hurts. They didn't have a lot of love for him like they do now into this season because they kept two first-round draft picks because they didn't know if he was the guy. So what I'm saying is the environment.
The coaching as well. With the coaching as well. No, he wasn't last year. No, he wasn't like that, but he was still coming out of his shell. He was getting acclimated on the field with the players and the team, the organization. And guess what? He became this overnight, you could say, success. Mm.
Can I ask you a question? Off the top of your head, do you know how many rushing yards Jalen Hurts had this season?
Off the top of my head, how many rushing yards he had?
If I gave you 800, would you say over or under?
I think over.
Under. 760. If I gave you 700 as an over-under for Daniel Jones, would you go over or under?
I say under.
708.
708.
Pretty close, right?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
All right, if I gave you touchdowns.
He don't have that. I don't think he has that heart yet.
He don't have heart. You know how much heart you got to have a line that bad and still run and still drop back? Like, if I'm Jalen Hurts, it takes less heart because I got the best offensive line in the game. I ain't getting touched. Wow. And I got two of the best receivers. Daniel Jones is doing this with – do you know his leading receiver was on somebody's practice squad a year ago?
Man, he said he didn't have heart. Thank you, Troy, representing Philly.
Budweiser.
It's New York City. It's a Giants hometown.
Budweiser.
So talking about Daniel Jones, we go to North Carolina.
North Krakalakin.
Mm-hmm. We got Lou.
Oh, that's his hood, right? He's from Duke. He a Dukey.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, Lou. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, like, Daniel Jones is definitively, like, a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. If I put Jalen Hurts on the Giants are looking for a quarterback this year. And if we put Daniel Jones on the Eagles, he's an MVP candidate. He is a pocket passer first that has the ability to run. And Jalen Hurts is a mobile quarterback first that has the ability to throw the ball. It's the other way around with these two, and Daniel Jones is going to age better because he can play from the pocket once he hits that age, 34, 35, 36, and his legs start to go a little bit. Daniel Jones can still produce for the team. Do we know if Jalen Hurts is going to be able to run around the field at that age? Because I highly doubt it.
Lou, that's a great job by you. That's a great call because the way you laid it out, and it's something that we didn't do, Bart.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lou just pointed something out to us that I didn't even think about. Never mind. Eagles be as good if they had Daniel Jones?
He flipped it on.
Would the Giants be where they are if they had Jalen Hurts?
I would say the Giants would look more like the Chicago Bears
with them receivers
they look now. It'd be
he'd
Jalen
be more
Hurts.
Justin Fields.
It'd be Jalen Hurts running for his life.
Wow,
and making plays
that's
off schedule.
That's another way to flip it. That's the way. Like we were too busy trying to say what would the Eagles be if they had Daniel Jones. You're saying, oh, they'd be the same. But would the Giants be the same?
The Twilight Zone.
Jalen Hurts and I think that's reality.
Message.
That's a great job by Lou. See, that's how the call is. He's the way we want it. Let's go to Harlem, talk to Brian. What's up, Brian? Brian?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Thanks for taking the call, man. Big Giants fan, kind of like Dave Rothenberg, man. It's like Giants all day. And I have this gut feeling, man. Usually my gut is 80%. I really believe the Giants is going to go to Philly. And they're going to break a lot of hearts. And like Bart was saying, there's going to be a lot of citations because there's going to be a lot of angry Philly fans out there.
After the game.
I tell you what, Giants fans, please do me a favor. If you win, take the Giant gear off. Because they're going to chase your ass all the way home.
Get out of the building.
Get him!
Let me tell you how cool.
Get across to Ben Franklin as fast as you can. What's happening?
Let me tell you how cool your partner is. I'm at work the other day, and I got a like on Instagram. Because for the Giants, the Big Blue Friday, I go out look, and it says the real Bart Scott. So I'm like, what?
So you hit like on one of his posts?
No, he liked my post. My wife, she got me a custom made Giants varsity jacket with my initials on it, and I'm like, the real Bart Scott. I'm like, this gotta be some spoof.
Yeah.
I went and clicked on the page. I'm like, oh, this is the real Bart Scott.
That's
I'm like,
really
oh,
Bart
no,
Scott.
Giants got to win this game.
Hey, man, I love my peoples. You know what I'm saying?
That really is. That's why they call it the real Bart Scott. Brian, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I'm the people's champ, son.
You are the people's champ.
For the people, by the people.
Let's go to Long Island. Let's talk to Ken.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to call
Ken?
And tell everybody in Philly Hey, what's up? I just want to call and tell everybody in Philly they're not going to get to eat any horse poop this year. They're going to be eating giant poop on Saturday night. They're not going to get to go all crazy. Coming down
New York City.
We
take
it over on, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. That's right.
Hey, are you
that's
guys?
That's the Gunling drop from the K Show, right? Yeah. That's the Gunling drop.
Yeah.
Are you guys going down there? Or y'all gonna watch it from somewhere here? Or are y'all gonna go down to enemy territory and go tailgate and go watch it at a bar? It's gotta be a Giants bar in Philly.
I'm sure there is, but.
No, he's like, all right, listen, I ain't got time to be dealing with these. I ain't got my taser.
Who wants to drive all the way the hell down in there?
Like, why? It's only an hour and a half.
For you, not for he's from Long Island. For
okay,
us,
okay, Strong Island.
Forget it. Way too far.
Too
way
hours.
Too far. All right, we got the calls. Rack stack, ready to go. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with all the smoke. We do have Philly fans repping, though. They are there on hold. We have you Giants fans as well. But this is equal opportunity hate. This is the haters ball, Bart Scott. That's what we do on Fridays.
But nasty. Hate but my gums because they black.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Quickly, before we get back to the calls, just some Knicks news. This happened. They, of course, announced this like literally right after our show ended, which, of course, they did. Instead of, you know, giving me the heads up on this, Mitchell Robinson was hurt in that game, the bad game against the Wizards on Wednesday night. Well, thumb injury now turned into he had surgery on a fractured thumb.
Hold on, what?
Yeah. So he's out, reevaluated in the next 3 weeks, which is literally the week before the All-Star break, which tells you he's probably going to be out through the All-Star break, which could be up to 14 games they miss him. That, to me, is like, this is what we'll be talking about in April when we look back and say, boy, they were doing so well. They were over 500, and then this happened.
That's Barney Rubble?
Trouble.
Damn.
Yeah, they're in Barney because of this. Because they don't have anybody like him on the court. I mean, they missed, you know, R.J. Barrett for a couple of games. They could stem the tide. They even missed Brunson and lived through it because Emmanuel quickly played so well. Mitchell Robinson does what no one else on the roster does. Offensive rebounding, shot blocking, defense, all that. All the things that you don't notice that he brings when he's on the floor.
He gets hurt all the time.
He gets hurt a lot. He gets hurt a lot. So now,
you know what that
trade
means.
Deadline's coming up. What do you do? Do you have to now find somebody that can play some defense?
You know where you got to go.
Uh-oh. Where do you got to go?
You got. Who do we work for? Disney.
Ooh, wait a minute.
Dun, 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 dun,
are you
dun,
telling
dun,
me?
Dun, 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 dun.
That the Knicks should try to make a trade for
Bobo.
I'd take Bobo.
Bobo be in here like, oh, can you imagine Bobo?
Oh, I would take Bobo. I would. I would take him.
And listen, he going to get you shooting.
What about Porzingis?
He is Porzingis for you.
He really is, actually. He's a lot cheaper.
Yes, he's a cheaper Porzingis.
He is. You're not crazy to say that.
Give you defense, be able to spread the court.
He could run a break. Length. You ever see him with the ball? He can run a break.
I was like a proud daddy.
He's been good.
I mean, real talk, that might be something that, I mean, it's low risk. You don't have to pay him anything. You got to pay.
You got to figure out what the Magic want to do there.
Porzingis costs a lot.
And if he does, he's expensive because he's got another year left at 35. If he doesn't opt out, 35 mil.
Yeah, he ain't how he playing, he ain't opting out.
Mm-mm. So.
No, he opting in.
I'd make a call just to see. Like, what's it going to cost? Now, Bobo's not a big-time rebounder, but Mitch is a great rebounder.
But they might need, like, Cam Reddish. You know what I mean? Maybe you can get Cam Reddish, trade him.
Cam Reddish is going to get traded, guys.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe you give him Cam Reddish. You know what I mean? How does Cam Reddish fit down there, like, with what they try
to give them
do?
A wing?
That's
because
what I'm
saying. They got Boncaro, who's taking up inside. They got Franz Wagner, who's, like, I guess, like a four-ish wing.
And they got the other dude, Bimbo Booba.
What?
The bim boom ba yo yo.
When you don't know the African name, you just bim boom ba ba.
Bim boom boom ba ba.
You do things that if I did, I'd be off the air by the next segment.
Ba ba uwe yo. They can take Cam Reddish down there. They give him because they already got Mo Bamba, right?
Mo Bamba, right.
Boom, boom, boom,
but they'd probably rather move Mo Bamba. I bet you they would rather move Mo Bamba than they would rather move
Of course. But Cam Reddish fits more with what they need, right?
Yeah, I think they could use a wing. They could
he's
use
young.
Cam.
He's cheap.
Yeah. Well, he's at the end of his deal. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's a deal there. Now.
I'd be at the guard. You wouldn't be able to get me out the guard. You wouldn't be able to get.
That's where I was going.
Nick, y'all want Bart there every day?
If we got you, Bobo, would you suddenly, and I got you a Knicks Bobo jersey.
Ooh. I want a musty one.
You want a game one?
Yeah, I want a musty one.
I don't know if that's musty's kind of.
Listen, the thing is, it'll probably come to my ankles, but it'd be so tight, it'll look like a tube. you know, Men in Black. You know those worms on Men in Black? Yeah. I like one of the little black worms on Men in Black, even though they pink.
You look like when Tracy Morgan puts on his
put on Shaq jersey.
It just hangs to his knees, and it fits tight in one area. Oh, man.
Let's move on before we get canceled.
Yeah, let's get back on track. All right, so bad news for the Knicks, and we'll see where they go from here. But the tough schedule, they got the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Of course, coverage right here on 98.7 ESPN begins at 7 p.m. And Monica McNutt on the radio call with Ed Cohen tonight, right, in Atlanta. So take a listen to that.
How'd she get Atlanta and you couldn't get Atlanta?
Well, we're all getting a shot. We're kind of rotating. Wally did a game. She's doing a game.
I understand that.
I got Wednesday. I guess I didn't do well enough that I didn't get Friday.
They didn't give you lemon peppers. You know what I'm saying?
Listen,
she in my oh,
Atlanta's okay, Atlanta's one of my favorite places.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's all right. She's there. She's got this trip, and then we'll see where it goes from here. I think I have another game coming up at some point. We shall see.
It's gonna be Memphis. It ain't gonna be nowhere fun. Send your ass to Memphis.
It's like nobody wants to go.
Send your ass to Cleveland.
It's like when poor Don LaGreca has to do Calgary.
Right.
It's like, man, nobody wants to go to Calgary in January. Send Don. Right. And Don, like, he just loves calling games. He's like, I'll go.
Hey, Don, we got an opening for you on next Thursday.
Yeah, where is
it? Yeah, where are we going? Oh, yeah. Saskatchewan.
Edmonton.
You're flying to Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. There's no damn team there. That's all right. You go to Winnipeg.
You're going to be in one of them same planes I flew in that one time with no windows.
Yo.
Like, yeah, it's dark outside.
We took it all those years ago in a snowstorm in Alberta. Took off and landed. I swear to God, I said the rosary the whole flight. Straight up rosary. I haven't said the rosary since I was in Catholic school. I was saying the rosary constantly because that felt like it was the end. It was going to happen that night.
Don't worry, it's normal. Like, nah. But
does anybody on here know how to fly a plane?
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.